Take your Bibles this morning. Turn over to Matthew chapter 27. It's a very special day because it's Easter Sunday, and of course that's what we want to celebrate here today. It's an important day in our family's life too, because this actually is the birthday of my dad, Earl Koning. He's been gone now for 9 years already. But this was my dad's birthday, and every now and then that happens. It falls on an Easter. Not often, but it has today. So we remember that, too. Some of you knew him. And anyway, we're going to turn now to Matthew chapter 27, verse 62, and we'll read on into chapter 28. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive that after 3 days I will rise. Therefore order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people that he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first." Pilate said to him, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can." So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him. See, I have told you." And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and they did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. Congregation of Christ, as you well know, Easter is a very important day in the Christian community. It is a day also of great drama because the story that it tells us about is amazing. Here is the story of the conquering of death itself. You stop and think about that. All throughout the days of our earthly life, we are reminded of the fact that death is always a reality that is in our lives. We hear about friends that die and relatives that die. And sometimes they're young and sometimes they're older. Sometimes it happens through very bitter tragedies and the like. But nevertheless, when we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that we have a victory over death. And of course, it also is a story too that not only is there the victory over death, but there is the securing of our eternal salvation. Salvation is finished now. At the cross, at the resurrection, Jesus Christ accomplished a full and complete redemption for all of our sins. That, by the way, is why death has been conquered, because the wages of sin is always death. But because he has won the victory over sin, he also has brought defeat to death itself. I want to look at this story very briefly today by looking at three things that happened. Number one, we see the initial concern on the part of those that were the enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me that the disciples, on numerous occasions, had heard Jesus tell them, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, and after the third day, I'm going to rise from the dead, or on the third day, I will rise from the dead. And the amazing thing is that when these events began to unfold, they seemed to have totally forgotten about them. We know from John chapter 20, verse 9, that they had no expectation of resurrection. Somehow it had totally bypassed them. They were no doubt overcome by the sadness of the cross, and they had totally overlooked the wonderful promise that Jesus had given to them. By the way, if you want to know three places where you can find that, my old Greek professor many years ago, William Radius, reminded us that there are three places in the Gospel of Mark that you can see this. Mark 8:31, Mark 9:31, and Mark 10, no, not 31, but 33 and 34. But three places in a row, three chapters in a row, Jesus is seen to have declared that he was going to do this. Now, the amazing thing is not only that it happened the way he said, but was also amazing is the fact that the only ones who remembered that it was going to happen were the enemies of Jesus. And that's why they went to Pilate and they said, we want to make sure that there is no talk about resurrections. We want to make sure that those disciples of his don't come and at the night time or some other time steal away the body and then tell everybody that he rose from the dead. Well, Pilate said, all right, we'll seal up the tomb. That seal, by the way, basically was a reminder on the face of that tomb that anybody who tampered with the tomb would be in a great deal of trouble because it would be breaking of the law. You don't go around and disturb places where people have been buried. Another thing, too, was that Pilate also said, you have a guard. Take as many as you want. Do whatever you need to do to secure the tomb, to make sure that the fears that you have about any theft on the part of his disciples, none of that will happen because you'll have secured the tomb successfully. Well, they were afraid of the trickery of the disciples, and yet the amazing thing is the people who feared the disciples' deception became the actual deceivers themselves. That amazing? They're afraid somebody else might deceive, but they were the ones who later on would be the deceivers. Sometimes you know how it is. We are most critical of others about things that are actually closer to ourselves. They were afraid that this resurrection would be something that the disciples claim, but it wouldn't really happen. Actually, when you look at the Bible, you'll notice that the scriptures tell us numerous accounts about our Lord's resurrection. I have listed for you here today, and I'm not going to look at all of these or talk about every one of them, but there are at least 15 different places in the scriptures in the New Testament that tell where people saw Jesus Christ alive again after he had been crucified, after he had been declared dead by the guards that were there around the cross, after he had legally been declared to be dead and had been placed in the tomb for 3 days. And yet, he rose. And that's why there were these 15 or possibly more than that appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know of 15 of them, and I've listed them for you, and you can study them on your own if you want to do that. So that was the initial thing regarding Easter. There was the concern of Jesus' enemies, what might possibly happen. But now, secondly, we notice that the day of Easter has come, and the confirmation takes place. There was the concern of the enemies, but there's going to be the confirmation of our Lord's words regarding his own resurrection. And it is interesting to see how this happens. Here are a group of soldiers, and they're gathered around this tomb. The tomb is all sealed up, and what happens? The Bible says that suddenly an angel came down out of heaven, and there, in the sight of every one of these soldiers, this angel went over to the tomb, and he rolled back the stone. Now, if you know anything about these tombs in Bible times, especially in the world that we're talking about here, a lot of times they were built in such a way that the opening of the tomb was here, but the stone was put in place because it was on a grade, and people could push the stone down the grade, and the stone would easily fall into place once again. But to move the stone out of position was something difficult. These were large stones. These were not just some small thing, not in any way, shape, or form resembling what is normally a memorial stone or marker that you would see at a cemetery. These were large. These were openings to an actual cave. And there we find that this stone was securely in place, but suddenly the angel appears and rolls back the stone. That suggests amazing power on the part of this angel. By the way, there are we know from other gospel accounts there were actually two angels that appeared that day, but one of the angels seems to be the lead angel. He's the one who pushed back the stone. He's also the one who spoke to the women. But anyway, notice what happens too. The Bible says that as soon as this angel moved back the stone, the guards that were there fell to the ground, and they were before the angel as though they were dead men. Now, these were not just weak men who were not used to difficult circumstances. But now, when an angel showed up, all of a sudden, these powerful soldiers that were going to guard the tomb, what happened to them? They're laying on the ground like they're dead because they are so shocked to see all of this happen right before their eyes. Well, later on in the day, that morning, something else occurred. The women came to anoint the body of Jesus. And so these women went to do this. They were the last ones at the cross, and they were the first ones at the tomb on Easter Sunday. It shows that these women had a remarkable commitment to the Lord. Anyway, as they come there that morning, their big question is, how are we going to get inside that tomb and be able to anoint Jesus' body? Look at the size of the stone that is usually there. By the way, too, they knew which was the right tomb. There have been heretics who have taught, well, you know, the women went to a tomb that had not actually been used yet. And it was a different tomb. It wasn't the tomb where Jesus was actually buried. No, they knew the right tomb. How do we know that? Because we know that when Jesus was actually buried, that they were there and saw what actually happened. Okay? They knew where he was buried. And you can read about that in the earlier section of Matthew chapter 27. Joseph took the body of Jesus, wrapped it in a linen shroud, and then it says, and laid it in his own tomb, and he cut in and had it cut in the rock. He rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb. Remember, one person could easily roll the stone in place. To get the stone moved back, that was a difficult thing. But notice, it says there, he did this to the entrance of the tomb and went away, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. They were there when Jesus was actually buried. They didn't find the wrong tomb. They knew where the tomb was where Jesus was actually buried, okay? So enough of that fraudulent idea. But anyway, what happens? They go down there that day, and wonder of wonders, they see the stone is rolled away. That is a miracle. Then they see an angel. And the angel talks to them and said, are you looking for the one who was crucified? He's not here. He is alive. He's risen. You see, Jesus Christ was not just an ordinary martyr. Martyrs die for their faith all the time, but you know what? They don't come back 3 days later from the dead. That's the difference between Jesus Christ. People can talk about all these other religions that they believe in. Fine. If they want to have their religion, so be it. But I'll tell you one thing, there's only one true religion, and that's the one that the Bible talks about here. The religion that is associated with the living Savior, Jesus Christ. No mere martyr, but a real and genuine Savior. You notice, too, that the angel talks to these women and says, he's not here, he's alive. Go in and take a look and see. And so we have three witnesses there, the moved stone, the angel messenger, and then on top of that, even the empty tomb itself, all testifying to the fact that something amazing had happened. By the way, where was the guard? They had hightailed it out of there. I mean, angels show up, they're getting out of there, man. That was more than they wanted to handle. We'll find out a little bit more about them in just a few moments here in our study. But you notice something else, too. The angel gave them one final responsibility. Who are the first people who ever told the good news of the gospel in the new age that had now dawned? It was the women. The angel said, go and tell the disciples that he is alive and he will meet them and all the other disciples in Galilee. That was Jesus' kind of home turf. And so he was told that, that Jesus would meet all these disciples in Galilee. By the way, that meeting is probably the one that the Apostle Paul talks about in writing to the Corinthians. When he writes to the Corinthians in the chapter there of, I want to just check it back with the list of scriptures that I gave you on page one there. There were 500 people that appeared at that meeting in Galilee, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. Somebody might say, well, you know, how do we know Jesus really rose again from the dead? I mean, he could have appeared to somebody, or somebody could have said they saw him. And how would you know? It'd be their word against yours, you know, one person. I mean, how could you possibly know? But this was not just one-time thing. He appeared to one person. Sometimes he appeared before two persons. Sometimes he appeared before the 11 without Thomas. Then he appeared before the 11 with Thomas. Then he appeared even before 500 brethren at the same time. I tell you, Jesus is alive. The miracle happened. And that shouldn't surprise you. Jesus is the Son of God. And you know, whatever God says always happens. People can question the Bible all they want to, but you know what? The Bible is beyond question. The Bible is always accurate. Everything that it declares. It declared long ago that Jesus would come into the world, that he would be born in Bethlehem. He was. It was said that he would be called a Nazarene. He was. It was said that he would have to go to Egypt in order for his parents to save his life. It happened just that way. The Bible tells us everything that was going to happen, even to the fact that he would go up to Jerusalem, that he would be crucified. That all happened. It says, too, that he would be crucified even by thieves, and that happened. And on and on and on it goes. Again and again and again, what the Word of God says is never false. People who question the Word of God are guilty of falsehood, but people who believe the Bible are following not falsehood, but are following the truth. Well, there was one additional amazing thing that happened that day. Because after the women saw the angel and heard the angel's message, they went away not knowing what to think. I mean, you talk about stirred up emotions. On the one hand, they were filled with joy. On the other hand, they can you imagine if you had to go back and tell a group of men that you just saw Jesus alive? I mean, would they even believe these women? Remember, in this culture of the day, a woman was not even allowed to be a witness in a court of law because they weren't believed to be credible witnesses. Now they're being asked to go and tell the other disciples that Jesus is alive from the dead. But maybe to encourage them, who knows? But they were never even to the disciples yet. And suddenly, wonder of wonders, Jesus appeared. Greetings. He was alive. Remember, they were the ones that were around the cross when he was crucified. They saw him put to death. They knew what he had been through. Now here he was, alive as ever could be. He was alive. And you see, all of this because God had promised it. God had predicted that it would be that way. Why is this so important and so significant? Well, you think about all the things that are involved here. We've already mentioned one of them. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we know that death has been conquered. We know also that sin has been defeated. As I reminded you, the wages of sin is death. But when Jesus Christ won the victory over death, he already had won the victory over sin itself also. At the cross and through his resurrection, we have proof of these things. You ever wonder sometime, too, whether you're going to stand before God someday and have him say, not guilty? Come, ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom. You know what? The Bible says that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if we have faith in that risen Savior Jesus, we are justified because of his resurrection. Paul tells us when he writes to the Romans that you and I have been declared not guilty if we have faith in the living Savior. It's all about faith in him. And when you have faith in him, you can know that your sins are forgiven you. You don't have to wonder if someday God is going to say, get out. If you know him by the way of salvation, you will know him in all of the glorification that awaits believers as well. He was raised for our justification. This was something that occurred too on the day of the first fruits. Okay, the first day of the week following the first Sabbath after Passover, that's when Jesus was raised from the dead. And by so doing, he became the first fruits of them that sleep. Remember from our earlier study that when Jesus rose from the dead, it wasn't long after the resurrection that others were also raised from the dead and began to appear in the town around the area there. Can you imagine what a shock that would be? All of a sudden to see somebody that you knew had died, maybe you'd attended their funeral, and you knew they'd been dead for several months, and all of a sudden there they were. And why? Because Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrection. What Jesus did is just the beginning of a great chain of resurrections that are going to happen. And you know what? You and I can share in that. I don't know how long you're going to live. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I'll tell you, I reached the ripe old age this year of 66 years old. I'll tell you, that was a big event, man. First time in my life I ever collected a Social Security check. Yeah. Yes, it was nice. I must say, after paying in all these years, it was nice to see something coming back. But you know what? We don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know if it'll be long or short, but I'll tell you one thing. We do know a couple of things. Number one, when we die, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately our souls pass directly into heaven. Our spirit, our soul, however you want to describe it. Some people see those as two distinct things, which I do, and some see them as one and the same thing. Either way, it's the immaterial parts of man, and yet we pass immediately into the presence of God, into heaven itself. The Apostle Paul talked about that. He said, I don't know if I'm going to be around to keep serving Christ or if I'm going to die, but I know that if I die, that's far better to go and be with Jesus. Paul expected that at his death he would pass into the presence of the Lord. But you know what? The same living Lord who rose from the dead is one day going to come again, and we're going to get brand new bodies. And I'll tell you, as I get older, there are days when I think, boy, that wouldn't be so bad, you know. Cold weather is kind of hard on this old man's knees, you know. You ever have anything like that? The older you get, it seems like things don't quite, you know, work the way they once did. But I'll tell you, we're going to get a brand new body. We're going to have a body like Jesus. We're going to have a body that is going to be able to move in and out of buildings without doors or windows open. just like he did, because our body will not be a mortal body. It will be immortal. It will not be a physical body only. It will be a spiritual body as well. And we'll be able to do things we've never done before. No more trips to the hospital. No more trips to the doctor. No more trips to get new glasses. You won't have to worry about any of that. And what's more, the Bible says that because of that wonderful thing, no more sighing, no more tears, no more heartache. Eternal joy. Eternal blessing. It's all ours. Body and soul. Body and spirit. It's all ours. And all because of what Jesus did. Now, what is most amazing to me is, what would you do if you were a guard? And you had been put in charge of that tomb. You know, if they failed at their duty, under normal circumstances, there was only one thing that they could look forward to: being put to death. You didn't let prisoners escape, and you didn't certainly let somebody disturb a grave where you had been placed in authority over what was going on there. And it wasn't just one guy. It was a group of them, as many as the Jewish people decided. Remember, they were the ones who set the determination of how big this guard would be. Pilate says, you have a guard. Do whatever you think it takes to secure the thing. And now, the Bible says that, what are they going to do? Some of them finally got the courage and they went to the Jewish leaders and they said, you're not going to believe this. But it really happened. The thing that you feared the most, it happened. An angel come down. Now, this might have been hard for some of them to take, because remember, you had Sadducees and you had Pharisees. The Sadducees didn't believe in miracles and they didn't believe in bodily resurrections. But the Pharisees did. They believed in things like that. And now here's a group of soldiers, hardened soldiers, who had faced all kinds of difficulties. They had seen everything there was to see. And yet now they had seen an angel and they had been on the ground as though they were dead men. Why? Because even the soldiers are going to have to testify to the enemy of Jesus of the reality of a resurrection. Oh, they didn't spread that word out in the society around them. Why? Because they were offered lots and lots of money to keep them quiet. Tell everybody the disciples came and stole them away at night. Tell people that that's what happened. Oh, and don't worry. If it ever gets back to Pilate, we'll cover for you. You won't be killed. Nothing is going to happen to you. Just take the money and shut up. Don't say anything more about what happened. Just say there was the theft and that was it. Isn't that amazing that people will do that for money? How would anybody ever feel right about doing something like that when they knew that they had seen the angel come down and roll back the tomb? When they knew firsthand by actual experience that this is what really happened? You know, many years ago, there was a story in the Bible that talks about the rich man and Lazarus. And after Lazarus died and he found himself in a position of torment, he said, please send somebody back and tell my brothers about what it's like. Tell them. And he was told, no, they have Moses and the prophets. Oh, but he said, just send somebody back from the dead. If somebody comes back from the grave and talks to them, certainly they will believe it. People couldn't possibly disbelieve in something like that, could they? Why, of course they can. The heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Because of our human evil, because of our depravity, because of the natural propensity of our own hearts to do evil and to be selfish in our decisions. People can do all sorts of things, even deny an angel that had come and rolled back the stone, which they had actually seen happen. All that for money. Well, I'll tell you, people do an awful lot of things for money, won't they? But you know what? I'll tell you, one day they're going to have to testify concerning the truth of what really happened. And you know what? The enemies of Jesus had heard what really happened. And the guard knew what really happened. And you know what? The disciples really knew what happened too, because they not only had the 15 appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ being alive, but also they knew it to such a degree that these men who had once been cowards, most of whom had never even been at the cross, they were so frightened about what was happening to Jesus. What happened to them after this event of the resurrection? There were two things that changed their lives. Number one, they knew the truth of the resurrection. Number two, they had the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that came at Pentecost time. And between those two things, they acquired a courage that was not common to the natural man. What happened was that suddenly they knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that these things were real. And every one of them but John the Apostle went to their grave being put to death for their Christian faith, and yet not one of them, to our knowledge, we have no historical account anywhere in the Bible or outside of the Bible that ever said that any of these people ever denied what they claimed to believe. They were willing to go to die because they knew it was the real thing. Peter talked about some of these incredible experiences. He said, I was with the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was... His glory was revealed. I saw it with my own eyes. But they saw some other things when you think about it too. You know, one of those appearances of the risen Christ happened on the day of ascension. Can you imagine if that for 40 days after all of this happened, that Jesus is teaching his disciples all about the kingdom? You read that in Acts chapter 1. What was the topic that Christ taught them the most about before he left to go back to heaven? He taught them all about the kingdom. And after finishing that, there he was gathered with them. And suddenly, before their very eyes, they saw this living Christ ascend into heaven and go back to the Father. Mission accomplished. Salvation fully realized for all who will believe in him. They heard again the message of angels once again saying, you've seen him go. You know he's alive. Now you've seen him go up into heaven. He's going to come again. He's going to come again. And you know what? Jesus is going to come again. He really is. People sometimes say, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that Jesus is going to come back again? I do with all my heart. I believe that he will come again. I believe that even now that there is much evidence that we are moving much closer to this than what we might actually think. We don't set dates here. We don't make wild predictions here. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things that continue to indicate that we are drawing closer. One of the greatest things of all is the very fact that we have the nation of Israel now as an independent nation. How many years, hundreds of years, that nation did not exist after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD and some of the events that followed that great tragedy. And yet, now, hundreds and hundreds of years later, 1948, everything changed. Suddenly, the nation that had not been a nation became a nation, because the Bible tells me that Jesus is going to come back to that nation, and he's going to come down, and just as people saw him go up, he's going to come down and his feet are going to touch on the Mount of Olives. And I'll tell you something, it's going to be an amazing event. You want to make sure that you're on Jesus' side, because I'll tell you, that's the only Savior that there is. You can look at all the religions in the world, but there's only one that can offer you salvation. The Bible says that there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not an option. It's a reality. It must be so, because that's the only one who has risen from the dead and guaranteed salvation. Can any of the great world leaders of religions do that? You know of anyone that has been raised from the dead, of the great teachers of history? Jesus Christ did, because he's the Son of God. He is sinless man. He accomplished everything that God sent him to do. And one day he's going to come and wrap it all up, and it's going to be fantastic. I wonder today if you know him. Don't just know about him. Don't just know him intellectually. Don't make this just an intellectual study. Know him. Get to know him. Get to know him personally. You can. You say, well, how can I do that? He's alive. Talk with him. You can talk with Jesus every day. The Bible says that he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. Just think about that fact that Jesus Christ even prays for you and for me. He intercedes in our behalf. He's alive forever in order to be able to do that. Why not get to know him? And that all starts by receiving him into our hearts and receiving him as our personal Savior. And that is a gospel that no matter what other people say, that is the gospel that we will never, ever give up, because there is no other good news like this gospel message. I'll tell you something. You ask me how I know he lives? The songwriter says he lives within my heart. I hope that you can say that as well. Let's pray to God now. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the Easter event. We are thankful for what Jesus did for us. We're thankful for the cross. Yes, Lord, we are. But we are so thankful, too, for the resurrection, because that really confirmed that everything that he had been sent to do was being accomplished completely. Now, Lord God, until the day that we actually see him face to face, I pray that we will be ready to serve him faithfully every day of our lives. Help us not to listen to the fraudulent messages of the world. Help us to turn to Jesus, to trust in him, and to believe in him with all of our hearts. And Lord, we know that if we have faith in Jesus Christ, that you have promised that whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh God, that is our hope. That is our confidence. We pray these things now in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior. Amen.